Standing in the gap for Brother Max so that he can recover. So he's going to do the main service. God bless. Brother Sasha, welcome back, bro. Let's open Joshua chapter 1. Let's take a thought for Sunday school. We've been on questions and answers, and it was just something which I came across in questions and answers. So I'll stand in the gap. I'm just standing in the gap for Brother Max. Joshua chapter 1. Just want to look at this thought this morning of dividing the inheritance, because I thought it was quite an important one and something which makes you really appreciate the goodness of the Lord in giving us the message of the hour. Joshua chapter 1, let's read from verse 3. This is what the Lord said to Joshua. It says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." But now the boundaries were very specific. Verse 3, verse 4. "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast." So the Lord had told them, your inheritance is very specific within certain boundaries. It's from the Mediterranean Sea, the sea at the going down of the sun, the river Jordan, to the Lebanon, to the river, to the going in of Egypt. So they knew that was their boundaries. Now, if you read verse 6, if you skip verse 5, this was his commission, Joshua. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." So he says, your commission is you to give the inheritance. Whatever I've divided for your people, that portion, you to lead the people into that portion. Let's pray. Father, whenever your word is opened before us, how we do realize our need of you. Father, we just need your grace every step of the way. How we need you to guide and lead us in our thoughts, our meditations. How we long for fellowship, Lord. Fellowship in the Spirit. How we long, Lord, that you would, Father, just help us and bring, Lord, your grace. Lord, your unction of mercy, Lord, upon your word and upon our souls upon this day. That, Father, you would touch us, Lord, spiritually and physically. Lord, touch Brother Max, restore his strength. Even our children at home so sick today, I pray for them, Lord. I pray your healing touch upon them. Lord, we're looking to you. Father, our hope, our expectation is in you. Where would we be today if, Lord, we didn't have our hope in you? So bless your people. Bless the Sunday school upstairs. Bless all that is said and done. Father, Lord, thank you for Brother Sasha, his family. Thank you for bringing them safely back. Oh, Lord, even our sister that will be traveling today, our sisters, may you bless them as well. Father, our affections, we want to set them upon you. Be with them that are still on the way, and you guide us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated, saints. Let's take another scripture. Now, that's Joshua being told in verse 6, "Unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land." But if you have a look now at Paul is saying in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul now, he tells us in verse 15, we know the scripture very well. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So Paul says, study the word. Yeah, really get in the spirit of truth, as we were saying on Friday at the prayer meeting, so that you don't need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, yes. You know, so the Joshua commission is to rightly divide things. For us to know our inheritance, what pertains to us, what doesn't pertain to us. And this is a very, very important point. You may not think this is important, but I've learned in my Christian life now, having been through the charismatic church, having been through different things, it's so very important to know your inheritance, to know what pertains to you. Let's take it as a Bible study, Deuteronomy chapter 2 then. And see, we read these scriptures some months back, just in another context. But this is when Joshua now is about to get commissioned to bring the people. Moses is about to die. Joshua is about to come to the place. And they're coming to the place. They're going to cross over now Israel, having been in the wilderness. Time for them to get into their inheritance. But Deuteronomy 2 verse 4, the Lord says, "And command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren." Deuteronomy 2 verse 4. "You are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau." So it says, these are your brethren, Esau, which dwell in Seir. They dwelt in Mount Seir. And they shall be afraid of you. Take good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Verse 5. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for possession. Now, so Joshua needed to know that look, we don't need to waste our time going and trying to take Mount Seir. That's not our inheritance. That's not given to us. That's given to somebody else. You know, we have our portion from the Mediterranean, Jordan, Lebanon to Egypt. We have our portion. That's where we need to put our resources, because the Lord said that no man will stand before you all the days of your life when you are going to take your inheritance. And he said the same in verse 8. It says, and when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, so this is now Esau, which dwelt in Seir through the way of the plain, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. So they came to Moab now. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession. Because I've given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. You know, that's what we said in the devotion the other day. We said the Bible speaks of three different categories of people. Paul speaks, it speaks about the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church of God. And those are three distinct categories. You know, the Jews, they have their portion. Our portion isn't their portion. Their inheritance is their inheritance. We mustn't try to think that's anything to do with us. The Gentiles, the foolish virgin, they have their inheritance. You know, they go through a different channel. But the bride, the church of God, the elect, we have our inheritance. So it's very important for us to be able to divide now what belongs to us, what belongs to the foolish virgin, what belongs to the Jews. Because if we don't get these things right, we can end up chasing and having an expectation of something that doesn't belong to us. You know, now, let's think of those on the way to Emmaus now. These two brethren, these were believers. But these were believers now who hadn't yet learned to rightly divide the inheritance. So when you find them in Luke 24, verse 13, these two believers are walking away. This is just after Jesus is crucified. He's resurrected, but they don't know it yet. And they're on their way to Emmaus. Verse 14 of Luke 24, it says, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So here these brethren are speaking, saying, but hey, things just aren't going well in the message. Hey, things aren't working out. No, they're really discouraged and they're sad. And it says in verse 15, and it came to pass, this is Luke 24, verse 15, that while they communed together and reasoned, you see, they were fellowshipping and reasoning. No, but this should have happened. No, but we should have had this. And no, the Messiah, when he came, he should have, Herod should have been deposed. No, the Romans should have been thrown out of the land. You see, they were reasoning about what the Messiah should do. So they had an expectation inside of themselves as to what the inheritance was in that day. They thought that the Messiah was going to come as a great king and, you know, deliver them from the Roman oppression like Moses delivered them from Egypt. And here came the Messiah. Here came he did all these mighty miracles. Then they see him crucified. And then he's laid in the tomb. And now they're so disappointed now. What was the problem? They didn't know the inheritance. They weren't able to rightly divide the word of truth. So their expectation was set in the wrong direction here. They were looking for the wrong thing. So, and it says in that verse 15, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. So this was real questions and answers now, you see. Because Jesus saw these guys have got some big questions here. Some big fundamental things. So let me come and help these brethren to understand things the way that they really are. So Jesus drew near to them. And verse 16 says, you know, their eyes were holden. They didn't know that it was him. Verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk in or sad? These brethren were discouraged. There was no reason for them to be discouraged. They thought everything was going wrong, but everything was going right. But the problem is they hadn't yet learned what the inheritance was. They were focusing on the wrong things. They had a false expectation. What belonged to another dispensation, they were expecting it now. They thought Jesus coming back in his second coming, when he comes to rule and reign and he deposes the Gentile kingdoms. The stone cut out without hands, it'll come and smite the feet of the Gentile kingdoms. They thought that was the time then. So one of them, his name was Cleopas, verse 18, answering, said unto him, imagine you're answering to the word. Here's the word trying to help you and you're answering back. Answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Where have you been? You say, where have you been? Hey, how can you ask me a question like that to say, why are you sad? Don't you know what's going on? You see how he's answering. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which had come to pass there in these days? Where have you been? Don't you know what's just taken place in Jerusalem? Verse 19. And Jesus said unto them, what things? Yeah. So he acted ignorant. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it should have been he which should have redeemed Israel. Everything's gone wrong. He was supposed to redeem us. And now he's in the grave. You see how you can misunderstand things. So Jesus says in verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You see, I'm standing in for Brother Max. People are looking at me strange. This isn't my place normally, but Brother Max wasn't well, so I'm just standing in the gap. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 26, ought not Christ, now he's dividing the truth to them properly, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Friends, that's what we need. We need the ministry of the Son of Man to come and rightly divide the inheritance to us, to show us what should we expect, what is our inheritance, what is for the Jews, what is for the foolish virgin. Otherwise, we can end up having an expectation like the charismatics, when I was a charismatic, of this great revival that's coming to shake the world. And they all think now that Donald Trump is the great savior who's going to bring about this great revolution, you know. Righteousness is going to take over America, and they're very sincere people. Just as much as Clopius and his friend were very sincere people. But they weren't rightly dividing the word of truth. Now Joshua was told, these are the borders of your inheritance. These brethren didn't yet know what the inheritance was, what the Lord had for them at that time. Now he says in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. My, that was a Bible study, friends. When the Logos himself comes and takes the whole Bible from Moses, all the prophets, and starts revealing to you your inheritance now, saying, no, let me show you from the word. All the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Friend, that was a revolution now. Now their hearts, look in verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and when he opened to us the scriptures? Friend, that was powerful. What transformed them? The truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They now went running back. They were heading away from Jerusalem, discouraged, because they couldn't rightly divide the inheritance. But now, when the truth was made known, combing through the scriptures, starting with Moses and the prophets, now they realize, but hey, our expectation was wrong. Now, he's doing exactly what he says that he would do. He has redeemed Israel. Now, the prophet in Questions and Answers, where I got this thought, was in Questions and Answers, the 23rd of August, the morning one, 1964. The question was, will the bride before Jesus comes, will she have all the power of the Holy Ghost to perform miracles, raise the dead, and so forth, as in the latter rain? Or is this the latter rain for the 144,000? Will all ministers have this, or are we just waiting for his coming? So this question was a Pentecostal person, because they were saying, is the bride going to shake the earth? Is she going to call fire from heaven? Because they read Revelation 11. Are they going to bring plagues upon the Gentiles like Moses did? That's what this question is meaning. Under the latter rain, is there going to be a revival that shakes the whole world? And people are going to say, the message is true. Because people now were reading in the scripture, Revelation 11. reading what's happening under the trumpets and all the great things when Moses will come and call plagues down and Elijah will shut the heavens, the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. So people now had this expectation. And friends, up to today, the Pentecostals have this expectation. They so much believe there's coming this great world-shaking revival, that all the revivals that went in the past are nothing compared to this revival that's to come. But they're going to be like Cleopas and his brother, because that's not our inheritance. You know, there's not coming a revival to shake the whole world. No, listen how the prophet answers it. That's why I was saying Joshua, the Joshua Commission, the prophet's ministry was to rightly divide the inheritance, to show what belongs to us, what belongs to the Jews, what's going to happen to the foolish virgin, to show this is for Esau, this is for Moab, but this is your inheritance here. From the Jordan to the Mediterranean to Lebanon to the entering in of Egypt, that's your portion. So it's so important for us to know our portion. Otherwise, we can be like them on the way to Emmaus with an expectation of something that doesn't pertain to us. And we all discourage him, but why can't I do this? Like that sister we saw in questions and answers the other week, Florence Shakarian, fasting and praying so she could cast out demons. And then she says, "Brother, I fast and I fast, but I can't cast out demons." And Brother says, "No, it's your portion to fast. And that's you fasting for the other person who's commissioned to cast out the demons." So you got to know your inheritance. Otherwise, you can be very discouraged thinking about, why can't I do this and why can't I do that? No, you've got to know your boundaries. Within the boundaries God has given you, he will vindicate himself. He says, "No man will stand before you all the days. I will prosper you." You stay within your boundaries, but that's where they were going wrong. So this question asked this, is there going to be this latter rain something to sweep the world? Now listen how the prophet says. He says, "See, friend, I'm not a theologian. Therefore, I have to teach all that I know about the Bible from shadows and types." And that's why the Lord allowed the prophet to be uneducated and never go to Bible school, because the best way to learn is the shadows and types. The things that are now are the things that have already been. There's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. So if you want to know where we are now, let's find in the shadows and types. Because these things are written, for example, if you want to know, are we to expect a great revival among the Gentiles now? Let's go back and see the shadows of our day and days gone by. And then we'll get a real understanding of this. So that's why the prophet says that. He says, "You can call me a typologist." He says, if I look at my shadow, yeah? He says, I get a basic image of something, so that if I look at the shadow of my hand and then my hand comes, I can say, that fits the shadow. You see, so you can recognize the reality when it comes, because the shadow has already prepared it for you. It's already given you an image of what to expect. So the prophet says, now, the Bible says these old things happen for examples, for us to learn by. He says, when you see what happened in the Old Testament, it's a reflection of what happens in the New. Now he gets to the question. Now notice on this question, see, as he dealt with Abraham, so does he deal with his seed. That fits exactly what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So if we're expecting a great revival to shake the world now before the burning of Sodom, we should find it back in the shadow.
That's right.
We should find Abraham now converting the whole of Sodom and all the villages, the cities of the plain, and Abraham going down in Sodom and calling fire from heaven and all that, and the people of Sodom saying, "Oh, this is powerful." Do we find that in the scripture?
No.
It was a private work. Yeah, it wasn't a public show.
Yes,
here was Elohim coming down to Abraham. Here was he coming down as Melchizedek. Here he was coming down as El Shaddai. But it was all just Abraham and his camp. The great things the Lord was doing, it was there. The people in Sodom knew nothing hardly about what was happening and the Lord was doing in that day. It was Lot and his backslidden wife, yeah, who went down there and lost the vision down in the type of the foolish virgin. Down then, and they made no difference at all. The prophet says all that those messengers did was blind the people. Just made the people of Sodom blind to the door. We know that Jesus is the door. You know, so if you go back and look, if you want to see about dividing the inheritance, the prophet is so on the scripture on this one here. That's why we say this was a Joshua commission. Joshua came to apportion the land. Gad, this is for you. Benjamin, this is for you. Judah, this is for you. Now, if you're supposed to, like we said the other day, grow corn in your portion of the land, but you're looking down at Zebulun, he's got oil, his toe is dipped in oil, and you say, I want some oil as well. You see, you're going to have discouragement because the Lord's going to say, the oil's not your portion. Your portion is the corn. If you're looking at Levi looking after the tabernacle and you're saying, no, I want to go to the tabernacle, you Benjamin, he's going to say, that's not your portion. Your portion isn't that. So you've got to know your inheritance. That's how the prophet says, you've got to know that you're called, otherwise you'll be defeated. You've got to know, what did God call me for? What is my purpose? What are the boundaries of my calling? And if you know that, friends, it's a great thing in your life. Because you won't have a false expectation now. You will know what the Lord promised you. You can stand upon the promises of his word and he'll never let you down. No man will stand before you. But don't try to take another man's corner. No, make sure you're rightly dividing the portion that's given to you. And that's what Paul said. Study to show yourself approved. Yeah, study the word. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Make sure you can divide it the right way. So the prophet finishes on this. He says, now as he dealt with Abraham, so he has with his seed. He says, we can look back. He's dealt with the church just like he deals with Abraham. What was the last sign they had before the promised son they'd waited on all those years? So before Isaac was born, what was the last sign? It was discernment. Revelations 18. When Elohim came down, manifest himself, ate, yeah, drank, came in the Son of Man ministry, discerned Sarah's, the thoughts of Sarah's heart. Why did Sarah laugh? Called him by his name, Abraham. Sarah. Can you see the prophet showing us there's not going to be anything to shake the world? That's the last sign that the world was given. There's no more sign given to the Gentiles. That's the last sign. You know, so the prophet's saying, the last sign they had was God standing in the form of a man, could discern the thoughts that was in Sarah's heart, Sarah being the church, he says. Immediately after that, she changed back to a young woman and him to a young man to have the promised son. So you can see, you can't break the scriptures. The prophet says you can't beat your type. And we've got to make sure our expectations go through the types. Now, he then says in the next paragraph, notice the other day, when we started them trumpets, the prophet wanted to come preach the trumpets. He wanted to come take 7 days meeting like the seals. He booked the place, trying to book the place. He says, when we started them trumpets, the Holy Spirit says, that don't belong here. So the Holy Ghost came and said, that's not your inheritance. That's for the Jews. So Joshua wasn't given now. Our Joshua, the prophet, wasn't now given the revelation of the trumpets. Because that's for Moses and Elijah. When they come to Israel, that's going to be their great revelation that they're given at that time. You know, so you can see it's very important, this one. And then the prophet continues on about Moses and Elijah. And he says, now the latter reign, 144,000 Jews. That's when Elijah and Moses, that's when those miracles take place. When the plagues are called down and the heavens are shut, he says it's under the trumpets. It's to Moses and Elijah. You see, friends, we've got to make sure we divide these things right. Otherwise, we do get ourselves confused. Now, let's go back to the other shadows and types in the days of Elijah. When the prophets of the Lord were being slain and all that kind of stuff, where was God? He was with Elijah and the widow woman. There was the power of the spoken word. There was the barrel of meal, yeah, the cruse of oil and all those things. But it was not a public show. It was secret. The Lord sent him very specific Elijah to a Gentile widow woman. And while the rest were having famine and drought and Jezebel religion was taking over, here was the revival. It wasn't a public show. So you'll find every shadow and type, if you're going to have a look at, you're going to find it's exactly the same thing. That's how the prophet, he finishes off and he says, if you want to know what's left for the church, he says, take your Revelations 2 and 3. That's your seven church ages. Now, friends, when you read Revelation 3, verse 14, the Laodicean church age, is there anything in there about a world-shaking revival? It's a lukewarm church. The Lord says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. It says, you say you're rich, but you're miserable. You're naked, you're poor, you're blind, and you don't know it. Can you see, you can't break this pattern of scripture that the prophet's given us. No matter what shadow, no matter what type we take it back to, the prophet says, the best way, go back to those old shadows and types, and you'll find what to expect. So we can expect things to get more and more glorious for the bride. But remember on the third pull. Yeah. The tent vision. When the light came down and the light went and hovered over the building and the angel of the Lord said, I'll meet you in there. And the prophet says, I don't understand. He says, this is that third pull. It won't be a public show. Can you see why the brethren, when they came, wanted to take gifts and that and make it a public show now? And have big meetings and put gifts in front of people and try to do what the prophet did. It never comes to anything. Because the prophet already told us, no, the last sign has already been shown. That last sign to the Gentiles was the ministry of the revealing of the Son of Man. Now it becomes a private thing. Let's finish with the final thought. The prophet tells us when Jesus is on the boat and there comes the great storm. He said he just came from the great healing revival. So there was the great public manifestation of Jesus. When all the crowds were coming and all that was taking place, remember? But then things changed. Now Jesus is in the boat just with his disciples. And there comes the storm. And the prophet says he was resting between the revivals. But that great public revival, it had served its time. Now it was just him and his disciples. Now the storm came and then Jesus, he wakes up and he speaks, peace be still. And there's now the spoken word in the midst of his people. And the rest of the world knew nothing about that. Can you see where we're getting? That's our inheritance. That's our focus. That's our point. Yes, we must do evangelism. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong taking your tent out and doing evangelism. Wonderful. Praying for That's the general commission of Mark chapter 16. We must go and pray for the sick. We must go and preach the gospel. But our expectation has to be scriptural. Because our Joshua has come and has clearly divided the inheritance to us. And we know what our portion is. Like the song says, we know who we are and what we were raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life. You know, so let's not be like them on the way to Emmaus, that our expectation is in the wrong place. Because Satan comes to the Pentecostal move in our age now and he's confusing them. And there's all the left behind books and all that where they're making this great revival that the 144,000 Jews are evangelists now. They go out to the Gentiles and there's a great harvest among the Gentiles in the tribulation period. You see, you haven't divided the word of truth. That doesn't fit with the shadows and that doesn't fit with the types. So friends, we should be so grateful to the Lord for a more sure word of prophecy. I love it when the prophet comes and just divides the things for us. That Joseph dismisses his wife to the palace and then he reveals himself to his brethren. You can find out there's something for us there. There's something now for the Jews. So friends, may the Lord help us always to rightly divide the word of truth. Let's bow our heads before we finish. Father, committing your word into your hands. Lord, I thank you for the Joshua Commission, Lord. Father, where would we be? Father, how confused we'd be in a time like this when so many things flying around. But Lord, you've given us light to walk in, Lord, in this age. You've given us something so clear. You've given us something, Lord, so vindicated and clear and pure. May you help us, Lord. Father, let us be, as Paul said, let us search the scriptures, Lord. Let us study to show ourselves approved. Workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So may you bless the song worship now, Lord. Bless your people as they come in. Bless the Sunday school as it finishes. And you be with us, Lord, in the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, sir.